Chapter 21. I have represented to Mr. Crisparkle, Helena, apostrophe said Neville, with a glance of deference towards his tutor, that if I could do it from my heart, I would. But I cannot, and I revolt from the pretense. You forget, however, that to put the case to Mr. Crisparkle as his own, is to suppose to have done what I did. Apostrophe, I ask his pardon, apostrophe said Helena. You see, apostrophe remarked Mr. Crisparkle, again laying hold of his opportunity, though with a moderate and delicate touch, you both instinctively acknowledge that Neville did wrong. Then why stop short, and not otherwise acknowledge it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, is there no difference, apostrophe asked Helena, with a little faltering in her manner, between submission to a generous spirit, and submission to a baser trivial one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, before the worthy minor canon was quite ready with his argument in reference to this nice distinction, Neville struck in. Help me to clear myself with Mr. Crisparkle, Helena. Help me to convince him that I cannot be the first to make concessions without mockery and falsehood. My nature must be changed before I can do so, and it is not changed. I am sensible of inexpressible affront, and deliberate aggravation of inexpressible affront, and I am angry. The plain truth is, I am still as angry when I recall that night as I was that night. Apostrophe, Neville, apostrophe hinted the minor canon, with a steady countenance, you have repeated that former action of your hands, which I so much dislike. Apostrophe, I am sorry for it, sir, but it was involuntary. I confessed that I was still as angry. Apostrophe, and I confess, apostrophe said Mr. Crisparkle, that I hoped for better things. Apostrophe, I am sorry to disappoint you, sir, but it would be far worse to deceive you, and I should deceive you grossly, if I pretended that you had softened me in this respect. The time may come when your powerful influence will do even that with the difficult pupil whose antecedents you know, but it has not come yet. Is this so, and in spite of my struggles against myself, Helena? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she, whose dark eyes were watching the effect of what he said on Mr. Crisparkle's face, replied to Mr. Crisparkle, not to him. It is so. Apostrophe, after a short pause, she answered the slightest look of inquiry conceivable in her brother's eyes, with as slight an affirmative bend of her own head, and he went on. I have never yet had the courage to say to you, sir, what in full openness I ought to have said when you first talked with me on this subject. It is not easy to say, and I have been withheld by a fear of its seeming ridiculous, which is very strong upon me down to this last moment, and might, but for my sister, prevent my being quite open with you even now. I admire Miss Budd, sir, so very much, that I cannot bear her being treated with conceit or indifference, and even if I did not feel that I had an injury against young Drood on my own account, I should feel that I had an injury against him on hers. Apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle, in utter amazement, looked at Helena for corroboration, and met in her expressive face full corroboration, and a plea for advice. The young lady of whom you speak is, as you know, Mr. Neville, shortly to be married, apostrophe said Mr. Crisparkle, gravely, therefore your admiration, if it be of that special nature which you seem to indicate, is outrageously misplaced. Moreover, it is monstrous that you should take upon yourself to be the young lady's champion against her chosen husband. Besides, you have seen them only once. The young lady has become your sister's friend, and I wonder that your sister, even on her behalf, has not checked you in this irrational and culpable fancy. Apostrophe, she has tried, sir, but uselessly. Husband or no husband, that fellow is incapable of the feeling with which I am inspired towards the beautiful young creature whom he treats like a doll. I say he is as incapable of it as he is unworthy of her. I say she is sacrificed in being bestowed upon him. I say that I love her, and despise and hate him. ..." is with a face so flushed, and a gesture so violent, that his sister crossed to his side, and caught his arm, remonstrating, Neville. Thus recalled to himself, he quickly became sensible of having lost the guard he had set upon his passionate tendency, and covered his face with his hand, as one repentant and wretched. Mr. Crisparkle, watching him attentively, and at the same time meditating how to proceed, walked on for some paces in silence. Then he spoke. Mr. Neville, I am sorely grieved to see in you more traces of a character as sullen, angry, and wild, as the night now closing in. They are of too serious an aspect to leave me the resource of treating the infatuation you have disclosed as undeserving serious consideration. I give it very serious consideration, and I speak to you accordingly. This feud between you and young Drood must not go on. I cannot permit it to go on any longer, knowing what I now know from you, and you living under my roof. Whatever prejudiced and unauthorized constructions your blind and envious wrath may put upon his character, it is a frank, good-natured character. I know I can trust to it for that. Now, pray observe what I am about to say. On reflection, and on your sister's representation, I am willing to admit that, in making peace with young Drood, you have a right to be met halfway. I will engage that you shall be, and even that young Drood shall make the first advance. This condition fulfilled, you will pledge me the honor of a Christian gentleman, that the quarrel is forever at an end on your side. What may be in your heart, when you give him your hand, can only be known to the searcher of all hearts, but it will never go well with you, if there be any treachery there. So far, as to that, next as to what I must again speak of as your infatuation. I understand it to have been confided to me, and to be known to no other person save your sister and yourself. Do I understand aright? Helen answered in a low voice. It is only known to us three who are here together. It is not at all known to the young lady, your friend? On my soul, no. I require you, then, to give me your similar and solemn pledge, Mr. Neville, that it shall remain the secret it is, and that you will take no other action whatsoever upon it than endeavoring, and that most earnestly, to erase it from your mind. I will not tell you that it will soon pass. I will not tell you that it is the fancy of the moment. I will not tell you that such caprices have their rise and fall among the young and ardent every hour. I will leave you undisturbed in the belief that it has few parallels or none, that it will abide with you a long time, and that it will be very difficult to conquer. So much the more weight shall I attach to the pledge I require from you when it is unreservedly given. The young man twice or thrice essayed to speak, but failed. Let me leave you with your sister, whom it is time you took home, said Mr. Crisparkle. You will find me alone in my room by and by. Pray do not leave us yet, Helen implored him. Another minute. I should not, said Neville, pressing his hand upon his face. Have needed so much as another minute, if you had been less patient with me, Mr. Crisparkle, less considerate of me, and less unpretendingly good and true. Oh, if in my childhood I had known such a guide. Follow your guide now, Neville, murmured Helena, and follow him to heaven. There was that in her tone which broke the good minor canon's voice, or it would have repudiated her exultation of him. As it was, he laid a finger on his lips, and looked towards her brother. To say that I give both pledges, Mr. Crisparkle, out of my innermost heart, and to say that there is no treachery in it, is to say nothing. Thus Neville, greatly moved. I beg your forgiveness for my miserable lapse into a burst of passion. Not mine, Neville, not mine. You know with whom forgiveness lies, as the highest attribute conceivable. Miss Helena, you and your brother are twin children. You came into this world with the same dispositions, and you passed your younger days together surrounded by the same adverse circumstances. What you have overcome in yourself, can you not overcome in him? You see the rock that lies in his course. Who but you can keep him clear of it? Apostrophe, who but you, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Helena. What is my influence, or my weak wisdom, compared with yours? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have the wisdom of love, apostrophe, returned the minor canon, and it was the highest wisdom ever known upon this earth, remember. As to mine, but the less said of that commonplace commodity the better. Good night. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she took the hand he offered her, and gratefully and almost reverently raised it to her lips. Tut. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the minor canon softly, I am much overpaid. Apostrophe, and turned away. Retracing his steps towards the cathedral close, he tried, as he went along in the dark, to think out the best means of bringing to pass what he had promised to effect, and what must somehow be done. I shall probably be asked to marry them, apostrophe, he reflected, and I would they were married and gone. But this presses first. Apostrophe, he debated, principally whether he should write to young Drood, or whether he should speak to Jasper. The consciousness of being popular with the whole cathedral establishment inclined him to the latter course, and the well-timed sight of the lighted gatehouse decided him to take it. I will strike while the iron is hot, apostrophe, he said, and see him now. Apostrophe, Jasper was lying asleep on a couch before the fire, when, having ascended the postern stair, and received no answer to his knock at the door, Mr. Crisparkle gently turned the handle and looked in. Long afterwards he had cause to remember how Jasper sprang from the couch in a delirious state between sleeping and waking, and crying out, "What is the matter? Who did it?" Apostrophe, it is only I, Jasper. I am sorry to have disturbed you. Apostrophe, the glare of his eyes settled down into a look of recognition, and he moved a chair or two, to make a way to the fireside. I was dreaming at a great rate, and am glad to be disturbed from an indigestive after-dinner sleep. Not to mention, that you are always welcome. Apostrophe, thank you. I am not confident, apostrophe, returned Mr. Crisparkle, as he sat himself down in the easy chair placed for him, that my subject will at first sight be quite as welcome as myself. But I am a minister of peace, and I pursue my subject in the interests of peace. In a word, Jasper, I want to establish peace between these two young fellows. Apostrophe, a very perplexed expression took hold of Mr. Jasper's face. A very perplexing expression too, for Mr. Crisparkle could make nothing of it. How? Apostrophe, apostrophe, was Jasper's inquiry, in a low and slow voice, after a silence. For the how I come to you. I want to ask you to do me the great favor and service of interposing with your nephew. I have already interposed with Mr. Neville, and getting him to write you a short note, in his lively way, saying that he is willing to shake hands. I know what a good-natured fellow he is, and what influence you have with him. And without in the least defending Mr. Neville, we must all admit that he was bitterly stung. Apostrophe, Jasper turned that perplexed face towards the fire. Mr. Crisparkle, continuing to observe it, found it even more perplexing than before, inasmuch as it seemed to denote, which could hardly be, some close internal calculation. I know that you are not prepossessed in Mr. Neville's favor, apostrophe, the minor canon was going on, when Jasper stopped him. You have cause to say so. I am not, indeed. Apostrophe, undoubtedly, and I admit his lamentable violence of temper, though I hope he and I will get the better of it between us. But I have exacted a very solemn promise from him, as to his future demeanor towards your nephew, if you do kindly interpose, and I am sure he will keep it. Apostrophe, you are always responsible and trustworthy, Mr. Crisparkle. Do you really feel sure that you can answer for him so confidently? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do. apostrophe, the perplexed and perplexing look vanished. Then you relieve my mind of a great dread, and a heavy weight, apostrophe, said Jasper. I will do it. Apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle, delighted by the swiftness and completeness of his success, acknowledged it in the handsomest terms. I will do it, apostrophe, repeated Jasper, for the comfort of having your guarantee against my vague and unfounded fears. You will laugh, but do you keep a diary? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a line for a day, not more. Apostrophe, a line for a day would be quite as much as my uneventful life would need, heaven knows, apostrophe, said Jasper, taking a book from a desk, but that my diary is, in fact, a diary of Ned's life too. You will laugh at this entry, you will guess when it was made. Past midnight. After what I have just now seen, I have a morbid dread upon me of some horrible consequences resulting to my dear boy, that I cannot reason with, or in any way contend against. All my efforts are vain. The demoniacal passion of this Neville Landless, his strength in his fury, and his savage rage for the destruction of its object, Appleme. So profound is the impression, that twice since I have gone into my dear boy's room, to assure myself of his sleeping safely, and not lying dead in his blood. Here is another entry next morning. Ned up and away. Light-hearted and unsuspicious as ever. He laughed when I cautioned him, and said he was as good a man as Neville Landless any day. I told him that might be, but he was not as bad a man. He continued to make light of it, but I traveled with him as far as I could, and left him most unwillingly. I am unable to shake off these dark intangible presentiments of evil, if feelings founded upon staring facts are to be so called. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.